welcome to this episode of H&N Overtime, the Hawaii News Now Sports Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Chinin, joined as always by Davis Pittner. Welcome back into the Sports Cave, Sports Digital Center. It's the Digital Center, but
I like the Sports Cave a little bit more.
Yeah, though. The H&N Sports Cave.
It fits. Yeah, I like it.
It's a bunch of dudes in a cave.
It.
Yeah,
I swear.
Welcome back, man.
Back at it again.
Back at it.
Took a little break.
Little bit of a break. We had to took some time to kind of collect our thoughts and just kind of observe the season as it goes by for the Rainbow Warriors football team.
Yeah.
And here we are. Talk a little bit about the first three games of the season and what to expect going into game four.
Yeah, Kyle, it's safe to say it's been a rough start.
Very rough start. Before we get into that, I want to say happy belated birthday to you, my
Kyle,
friend.
You stop that.
You, my co-host, that's my partner in crime, Davis Pittner, was his birthday
Kyle.
a couple weeks ago. Happy belated. And again, another happy belated to our other adjacent sports helper reporter, many different hats at H&N, Sienna Pilloton, her birthday as well. Bunch of Aries.
You didn't know that. Happy birthday, Sienna.
Is it Aries, right?
Aries?
No, Virgo?
No, Virgo.
Virgo.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Kyle,
I'm sorry.
Come
bunch
on.
Bunch of Virgos.
Rough start.
I'm sorry. Rough start. Much like the Rainbow Warriors. Talk about a transition there, folks. But yes, much like the Rainbow Warriors football team, they are off to a pretty rough start to their season, falling to 0-3 after their last most recent game to Michigan, number 4 ranked team in the country, 53-10 loss. You know, they're also coming off of a loss to Western Kentucky and another their opening loss to Vanderbilt, which we kind of talked about previously in our last episode about, you know, leading up to the season and the hype. And, you know, from your perspective, Davis, I want to know, you know, going back to when we were talking about preseason, going into Vandy, and now here we are in week 4 as they get ready for Duquesne. What is kind of your thoughts or your perspective on this team and just how it's gone so far for these boys?
You know, Kyle, it's looking at these three games, you know, it's obviously safe to say it's a rough start.
Right.
But then at the same time, you also have to look at this that, you know, we're in a rebuilding mode, right? You know, I think all of us coming into the season, we all kind of knew it wasn't going to be perfect from the start. You know,
right,
we were going to see our struggles. We were going to see, you know, having to adapt to certain situations. And I think we've seen that, you know, it's safe to say, you know, the Bows, they've played some competitive teams, Vanderbilt SEC team and, you know, Western Kentucky, also a great team too.
Right.
And then we head into Michigan and I think going into it, we all had that thought in the back of our minds where, you know, this probably isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it was an uphill battle. You know, they went into the Big House in Michigan in Ann Arbor. You know, they were the week prior to that game with Hawaii, they were the number 8 team. They jumped up 4 spots to the number 4 spot. On the national rankings before they took on Hawaii. And then, you know, on the road, first road game of the year, and again, still with the, you know, not too sure who the quarterback was. I mean, they had a little bit more of a sense going into this week, at least than the previous two. They announced that it was going to be Joey Yellen from the start on Thursday. Head coach Timmy Chang told us and the other, you know, media just kind of who they were going with that week. And then, you know, they just kind of went with there. But the thing is about this team, and you talk about they're making strides. It's a rebuilding year, and one thing that they can hang their hats on that Coach Timmy Chang told us was, you know, they eliminated the penalties. They eliminated the turnovers, you know, costly turnovers that really cost them against Western Kentucky and Vanderbilt. And, you know, they eliminated those. They got a couple sacks on defense and they had, you know, turnovers on defense. So it might not seem like it, but they are taking those steps forward to get, you know, a little bit better every game. And I think that's encouraging to see. And now, you know, they might even come back this week with a little bit more confidence, right?
Yeah.
To know that, you know, we kind of, you know, despite what the score said, we were playing tough. We played to the end against the number 4 team in the nation in their house. So, you know, it's all about these baby steps that this team has to take in order to get to where they want to be. And I think to where the fans wants them to be.
I agree. And that's a great point you brought up about the turnovers. Western Kentucky, obviously, 5 interceptions. And, you know, going into Michigan, we didn't really see that. We didn't see – Yellen didn't throw any interceptions.
Right.
Which was really impressive against a fourth-ranked team, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, obviously, they're like you said, they're learning. They're growing. Mm-hmm. They're coming more together as a team.
Yeah.
And I think this week is the real first opportunity for them to take that step.
Right.
And hopefully pull off a win.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, too, it's just they also don't want to change the mindset, right? They said, you know, no matter if they're playing number 4 team in the country or Duquesne, which, you know, is a mid-major FCS team, they're still going to attack it like they're playing Michigan, right? They're still going to attack it like they're playing a top 5, top 10 team in the country. So, you know, their mindset hasn't changed, and, you know, they're just still trying to just stick together, stay the course. That was Timmy's big thing this week, was stay the course, work on the fundamentals and the little things to then, you know, the little things add up and become big things.
Yeah, you know, despite the growth, though, I think there's still a lot of work on, right?
Right.
And I like, you know, I'm a big numbers guy. I like looking back at the numbers.
Big obviously, analytics guy.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, obviously Michigan, tough matchup. You got bigger guys. You got more talent and everything.
Yeah.
Despite that, though, you know, we got to kind of look at everything. So I have the numbers right here. So we're going to go to Western Kentucky. 400 Western Kentucky put up 412 total yards, 360. I think the big thing that we have to look at when it comes to these games is our rushing attack. You know, that's a big component for
right?
We have some good backs, and you know, we kind of saw that during Michigan,
right?
You know, that nice run
at
that
the
we
end
also,
of the game, right? 54 yards. Yeah. Tylan Hines, the freshman out of Texas. Like you said, our backs, That should be another one of the strong points of the offense, just being able to use them, set up the run to allow Timmy and Shoemaker to pass the ball, move the ball downfield. But you know, they have guys like Dedrick Parson, Najee Bryant, Lalay, Tylan Hines, who scored in the Big House, Jordan Johnson. It's, you know, running back by committee, but you're right. They have a group of backs. They have a good stable.
Yeah, we got a good stack, but I think at some point too, we got to have that like one guy that kind of stands out from the rest. Because you look at back at everything, and I mean, different guys putting up different numbers. Hines, Michigan, 75 yards for him.
Right.
And then we look at Western Kentucky, Bryant, 64 yards for him.
Right.
94 altogether, but it's kind of different guys putting up different numbers in a way, and so. In my mind, you know, I can never tell if that's like a good thing or a bad thing. You know, if you have more guys doing more things,
right,
or if you need that one guy who's putting up bigger numbers you can lean on.
Right. I think also to stay on this kind of point, this offense, all training camp, what have you, they were talking about the tight ends. You know, this is a position here at Hawaii that is not exactly historical to this program. They don't really use tight ends at Hawaii, but you know, they bring them in. We have two solid tight ends in Jordan Murray and Caleb Phillips, and so far through the first 3 weeks they've kind of been, you know, forgotten about almost. And I thought, you know, going into this season that they would be something that they could use as matchup nightmares, because they are athletic, right? They're not just blocking tight ends. You can line them up on the slot and make it a nightmare for a DB or a corner, you know. But they just haven't been targeted, and they haven't really been parts of the offense. So I think going forward, they just need to be a little bit more multiple. They talk about being multiple, but their offense has been kind of bland, right? It's been kind of vanilla. Like, be a little bit more multiple. Use your tight ends. Use your running game.
Yeah.
You know, RPOs, all that kind of stuff. It just kind of adds up, and, you know, I feel like they have the pieces, right? That's what we've been saying, I think, for the longest time, is they have pieces.
Yeah.
They have pieces to get it done. It's just about using it. Using the pieces in the right time in the right way.
It's definitely a growing process. And you spoke to Coach and some of the players.
Weekly media.
The weekly media.
They love us.
There we go. So I say we take it to the interview.
Oh, yeah.
No, right now I think it's... Let's start that again. It's Joey. Okay, and you know, Shakes is banged up, and but But I think Joey played good enough to get a start.
What would they have
been good
enough for? What did
he show? I think we showed as a team some resilience in the second half. He made some good throws. There's some throws he probably wish he could have back. But, you know, I think he deserves to start the second, you know, this next coming game.
What do you look at as a head coach in a game like that, an experience like that, that you can kind of extract and sort of turn into something that you can use you know, positively or usefully going forward?
You know, I thought we did a great job of not turning the ball over. The first two games, there were a lot of turnovers, put ourselves in bad position. And definitely the penalties aspect of it helped, having, you know, discipline, playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. And putting ourselves in the position to be successful that way, you know, special teams wise, you know, we talk about the drive start average and giving our offense and defense the best, you know, starting position, and we won, you know, in that phase. And so those are things that we can build off of, especially playing a great opponent as Michigan.
You talk about the resiliency of this team. You know, late into that game, you know, the score might have gotten away from you guys, but they never gave up. Kind of talk about that aspect of your team and what they showed last weekend.
Yeah, you know, we were I was happy and proud of them, and told them that after the game that, you know, they kept battling. You know, they got some sacks. They got a turnover. We moved the ball. Really wish we could have ended that game with the score down there. But you know, really proud of them in that aspect. But definitely, when you watch the film and us talking to them over and over and over and over again, it's the consistency to do their fundamentals and technique, and knowing what's needed to win their battles. And so that's really what we want to focus on moving forward, is just being consistent, and so that, you know, all 11 guys are doing what they're supposed to do. You know, from a staff perspective, I think everything's on track. You know, I really think we know our guys. We know what we're good at. We know what we're not good at, where we got to build on, what we got to emphasize, what we got to focus on, and our practice should and will, you know, it'll show what we need to work on. You know, we got to work on tackling. Let's do some more tackling. We got to work on catching and throwing the ball. We work on catching and throwing the ball, and so you know, that's where we're at now with our staff. And then just getting dialed in on Duquesne, you know, good FCS appointed, winning coach. And so, you know, they're going to present a challenge for us, especially us being at 0-3 and having not tasted victory yet.
Just kind of how has the week gone so far as you guys kind of regroup from Michigan and get back into the swing of things as you guys get ready for Duquesne?
It's been going great. There's a lot of focus mentally, like Coach Chang is saying, focusing on our techniques, our fundamentals, winning at the first step. So, I mean, that's everybody's main focus right now, not overthinking everything.
And, you know, this week, homecoming, right? You guys got a home game again, and you know, the festivities of homecoming. You've been here, you know, as a local boy, even at high school, homecoming is kind of a big deal. Yeah. How special is it for you to just kind of be able to come back home and regroup? And, you know, you guys come in here most likely as favorites against Duquesne. You know, how does it feel to just be back home again?
Oh, it feels good. Honestly, the trip was... It was short, but it was long at the same time. So, I mean, it feels good to be back home. We know there's still a lot of support for us out here. You know, fans are still supporting us through everything we're going through. So, I mean, we're going to try our best through everything.
How does that kind of translate kind of to the rest of the team? You know, not exactly the greatest start to this season. How do you think that mentality of resiliency kind of translate to the rest of your boys here on the team?
Shoot, I think it's just like we have a bunch of the boys on the scout team, and they're just thinking like they're never gonna get a shot, but correlating that to the like how our team is doing, I feel like we just gotta keep fighting. Like, just keep fighting, keep the spirit, and keep all the boys up, because once people start going down, they're gonna see that, they're gonna wanna go down too, but we just gotta stay positive.
Well, that was head coach Timmy Chang and a couple players during weekly media avail. And, you know, as you heard, spirits are still high. They're hoping. We're hoping. And
pretty sure the entire state's open.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everybody wants Timmy to be successful. Everybody wants his team to be successful. But now we move on to week four. They take on Duquesne, the Duquesne Dukes, out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Shout out to Pittsburgh.
What's up with that voice, Kyle?
I don't know. Just trying to feel.
I like it. Yeah, no, yeah. I like it.
A little bit
it.
Of Pittsburgh
okay.
in the 808.
Yeah. All right. I can
just
dig
watch
it.
A couple shows and then a lot of Pittsburgh voices. It's fine. It's whatever. But they come into Manoa. It's homecoming for the Bows, and I feel like. You know, we kind of talk about taking the steps forward. I feel like this is the type of game, you know, they're back at home. It's homecoming. They're looking for that first win. And, you know, they're just coming off of a nationally televised, nationally ranked team. Now they feel, it just feels like one of those games, right, that you know that they're going to come out on fire and they're just going to be ready to play and hopefully get that first win.
Yeah. And first of all, I mean, we kept talking about, you know, everything with Michigan, but I mean, what a cool experience.
Right.
You get to play in the Big House.
I know. I think that's what a lot of players are saying. Is like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's really crazy.
It's like a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing for a lot of people. And, I mean, just even though you lose by that much, it's still like such a cool experience.
Yeah.
I mean, all those fans. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. It would have been like a dream being out there, you know?
Exactly. I mean, for me, it was like when you got in high school, when you got to play at a Lowell Stadium during States, that was cool.
Yeah. No,
that was like my Big House, you know?
No, absolutely. I mean, so first of all, I mean, that was really cool for them.
Yeah,
I'm super jealous.
Pretty jealous.
No, we wanted to go to Michigan.
I mean, that was a trip that we tried to get to, but
yeah,
that's okay. Next time.
We don't need it.
We didn't.
Looking ahead to this week, though, big numbers guy just said that.
Here we go.
Just like I did with Vandy. Been taking
a look
at some players.
We should get a touch screen here. Is it touch screen?
I don't know.
Jonathan, we didn't touch the screen, Jonathan.
Touch it. Jonathan, you
Jonathan
know,
Jared Salpe, yeah, we did not touch it.
We did not touch it.
All right.
Quickly, though, Duquesne, looking at it. So, one win for them.
Mm-hmm.
They played Florida State, Youngstown State, and Thomas More. Beat Thomas More last week.
Yep.
34-14. Two guys I'm looking at, though, Kyle,
yep.
on their offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're obviously, you know, they're. The record isn't the best. You know, mm-hmm. they're not a 3-0 team, but they got some guys.
Right.
All right. So I'm just going to talk about the stats from last game. Obviously beat Thomas More 34-14.
Mm-hmm.
Rushing, Billy Lucas, 19 yep. carries, 136 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. So obviously big rushing attack for them.
Yeah, that's going to be something that I feel like the defense is trying to get better at. They just need to stop the run.
Yeah,
you saw it in the first two games. It was very difficult for them to stop the run. This is going to be a guy that they need to key in on,
mm-hmm.
Especially if they're not so shored up on the run game
yeah.
yet.
Yeah, no, exactly. And we saw that. And I think the biggest thing though, the one guy that I think is going to cause some issues that I've been having my eye on is Dwayne Menders,
mm-hmm.
Receiver. Last game, 8 receptions, 165 yards, 1 touchdown. Youngstown, week before that, 7 receptions, 102 yards. This is obviously the number one target
yep.
for the QB.
Yep.
And, you know, it's going to be a tough play for our DBs.
They just got to step up. And, yep. you know, they're without one of their starting safeties from the Western Kentucky game, Leonard Lee, he's been out with a bit. He was a bit banged up, so he is still not come back into the fold. But you're right; these DBs, they kind of have to step up. They have to secure. They have to lock down. It's going to be a big challenge, right, in the secondary for these guys. And you know, I feel like they've been working towards getting to that point.
Yeah.
And there's just such youth, just across the board, right? This entire team, they're so young. So, again, we're just going to keep learning and make mm-hmm. sure that they're ready for that.
Rebuilding. It's all about the rebuilding. Yep. Yeah.
And to counter that point, Duquesne on defense, we talk about the running backs. They need to have a good game because last week they were ran on. The Duquesne mm-hmm. defense, they allowed so much yards on the ground. So they just need to be if I'm calling the plays, I see that on film. You're just like, okay, this needs to be something we need to work on. This is something that we need to attack, you know, pedal to the metal and make sure we just run it down their throat because the pass is seen. They can do it.
Yep.
They allow it.
Yeah.
So I just think we talk about some of the running backs, keep an eye on.
I was
going
to say, we got that running back committee.
Keep an eye on for someone to step out and step up, you know. But, yeah, it's an exciting one. Like, we talk about predictions or odds or whatever. This is probably the closest odds-wise or, you know,
it's true.
I guess spread, however you want to look at it. UH has been in this entire season, right? Last week, obviously, the 51-point underdogs to Michigan. Yeah. And then, you know, big underdogs the rest of the way. This is a close game. Like, this could go either way. So, if we just see a Hawaii team that's improved and, you know, ready for the challenge, I can see them taking a win here this Saturday, especially in homecoming.
Yeah. No, it, especially for homecoming. It's when everyone comes out, all the students, your peers, your family, everyone comes out to support. So I think that's going to give a little extra boost. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to get a little extra pep in their step. I think it's going to give them a little bit more energy. I have some high hopes for this game.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be something special. I think so.
I hope so. I really do.
So now let's turn it to the fun part our show. Yep. Kyle, you know, we're talking about homecoming this
week.
Let's talk about some of our memories.
Big
let's go down memory lane.
A little bit of memory lane.
What do you got? What best homecoming memory?
I'll take you back to my junior year of high school at Mililani. We're playing Farrington, which if you're up to date with high school football here in the islands, might not seem like a big game, but you have to remember, this was back before the open division. Mm-hmm. It was just the OIA, and this is when Farrington, their offensive line, averaged like 375 pounds and 6'6" across the board. So this was a Farrington team of old, and they had guys like Braden Fehoko, who's with the Chargers now. He was their starting defensive tackle, you know. So this was a Farrington team going up against a Mililani team that was, you know, we had Mackenzie Milton and was like winning all these games, and it was homecoming at, you know, John Kawinana, and we just knew it was going to be packed. Like we were told, like, a lot of people are going to this game, so much so that the fire marshal at one point in the game actually said, like, people had to leave because there were so many people just standing around the track or in the standing area on the bleachers that, like, this isn't a fire hazard. So it was packed to the gills.
Wow.
At Mililani. And we beat Farrington. We ended up going undefeated that year, going to the state championship. But I just remember,
because of you, Kyle.
definitely not because of me. But I just remember the atmosphere was intense. It was nuts. Yeah. And Farrington, they like to bring their own banners to put on their sideline, which you're on the road. What are you doing? But, you know, we didn't really take too kindly to that.
Yeah.
Just the environment, the atmosphere was crazy. The music was blaring. The band was there. It was just sensory overload, and it was something that I'll never forget. Definitely. And then my homecoming, my senior was also senior day or senior night, so I'll never forget that because we played IAEA, beat IAEA, and then did the senior walk with my parents, my brother, my cousin. It was cool. So those are the memories that kind of stick with me throughout my life. And the other thing that will stick with me for my senior year homecoming / senior day was the first and only personal foul I've ever drawn in my entire career.
Personal foul, Kyle? What did you do?
I didn't do anything. Okay, let me explain myself. So, you're an offensive lineman as well.
Okay.
We're going to set the scene. I'm playing center. I'm in the middle. I snap the ball. Yeah. I'm not doing anything. I have one hand out on the D lineman, and my guard is there. My guard pancakes him onto the floor.
Okay.
And I put two of my hands in front of him, on top of him, to move my feet out of the way because he was going to fall on top of me.
Sure.
So I do that, and I kind of run forward, like, stumbling. Not very graceful, if I'm going to be honest with you. And the next thing you know, I see a yellow flag. I'm like, I'm going to call holding on him, or, like, what's going on? Next thing I hear, personal foul, 72. And I'm like, how did that happen? Like, that's like 15-yard penalty. How did I draw a 15-yard penalty from that? And so that's another thing. It's so funny because my dad always brings it up, and he's like, how was that a personal foul? And like, even my coaches was like, what did you do? And I'm like, nothing. Nothing.
Didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything. But that was my long-winded explanation of my homecoming experience.
That's pretty good. No, I like that. Hey, man. You know, I wish I could say I had the same thing as you. But different homecoming experience. Uh-huh. So high school, my senior year, was finishing up, or we were about to start our league games and everything. And it was really rough because we were doing warm-ups in the game and everything. We're on the field. We're about to play 10 minutes out. And we're running through some practice plays. We had a backup running back who was in, and he didn't know the play.
Oh, no.
And so we all go and everything. I go up to the linebacker blocking him. Running back doesn't know the play.
He runs
right into the back of me.
Oh, no.
I fell down. Everyone fell down on top of me. Like, that's a lot of guys.
Oh, yeah.
And then I twisted my knee.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah. So, tore every ligament in my knee.
Jesus, Davis.
You know what, though? I kept trying to play on the game.
Hey, don't we all.
My knee was, like, collapsing on me. And my coach is like, we got to take you. I'm like, no, I'm staying on the field.
That's what I like to see. That's and that then great
I pancaked
determination.
A guy, Kyle.
Yes.
I threw a guy down.
Yes.
With a torn knee. That's what
That's
I'm
grit.
Saying.
That's grit. That's just gritty.
So homecoming game, we won. My team was awesome.
Of course.
And I was on crutches, and I crutched down our little, like,
homecoming thing
in a way. So. What?
That's just, you just summed up our entire podcast, just grit, determination, and power, you know?
You know, it's Kyle, I try.
Jeez,
it's about
man.
Power, Kyle.
Dude, what a way to grind it out. I this is another side story. Like, when I busted my thumb in college, I finished that practice because I got it busted at the beginning of practice, and I, like, still had to snap and all that during college. I was like,
that's hard to do, too, when you're, like, trying to snap.
Oh, at one point, I think at the end of practice, by the end of practice during team, I was snapping with my left hand. I was just throwing it there and, like, praying that it got there. And then went to the trainer, and he's like, oh. He's like, it's already, like, yo, it shouldn't be that purple. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Tried to get out, but I didn't. I didn't want to. But anywho, homecoming.
Homecoming, dude. Hopefully it's going to be a good homecoming experience for these guys.
Of course. It always is. Bows. It's always fun to be at home when, you know, when it's something that's like a little pick-me-up, you know, after the first 3 weeks. It should be a nice little pick-me-up to be back at home and get these boys fired up.
I'm excited.
I mean,
I'm excited, dude.
I am too.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
It's going to be a good game, that's for sure.
We shall see. Alrighty, guys, that has been another episode of HNN Overtime. Thank you again for listening or watching. If you want to listen, you can head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get the rest of our HNN podcast. And be sure to check out the video version on our YouTube channel. That's going to do it for Davis Pittner. I'm Kyle Chenin. Aloha.
Aloha.